Hello and welcome to Hometown Glory, your slightly downcast Spurs and culture podcast. I'm Rosa, and today, like the good Jewish mother that I am, I've guilt-tripped Lauren and Sam into this North London derby debrief. Can't do anything about the results, but I can tell you this is going to be a safe space for sadness, anger, and crackpot conspiracy theories. My dears, how are you feeling? Sam, I'll start with you first, because you were there.
I was there. Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
After 24 hours or so. I sort of went into the game feeling pretty optimistic, or like hoping for the best at least. Knowing full well we were coming up against one of the best sides in the world at the moment, as much as it pains to say it.
It's extraordinarily painful.
It's really painful, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, I think that, I know we'll get into it later on, but it just felt like it wasn't really going to be our day. We had a lot of decisions that felt like they were going against us, and
put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that for sure. Yeah, there's a whole other section I've got for that. Yeah, did you feel like the atmosphere was decent?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Yeah. I think it's probably that, especially before the opening goal, I thought it was as good as it's been since Man United, that opening game of the season. Felt like everyone was behind the team. I think like the pre-match energy was really good on the concourse, and the pubs were like buzzing with like anxiety, but also, you know, good vibes and support. It was it was nice to see. But yeah, like it was a very stressful day, as it always is.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, what can we do? It's happened, and it didn't go the way we wanted it to. Lauren, as you said yesterday, your head was on Pluto. Where are you now?
I'm back again. I'm on now. I'm back. I think I'm happy the second half happened, because if it didn't, I think my head would still be on Pluto. But I think now I'm just a bit like, what could have been? Because I think, obviously, we'll get into specifics, but it does kind of feel like we could have snatched something, or if we hadn't started the way that we had, we could have won it, even though, we know the form that Arsenal had been in. But actually, when I think about the game as a whole, they did not show that they were like, there's 20 points between us. It didn't feel like a 20-point gap in open. So, yeah, I'm just kind of like, obviously deflated, because it's a derby and it's the derby for us. And, you know, the players, they'll move on and start training for Thursday. Us as fans, we get it in all directions for all Arsenal fans that we know. And that's the part and parcel of living in London, especially that in your circles, there will just be a lot of flipping gunners. So it's a painful day, I think, just to kind of take the shit on the players' behalf. But yeah, like, at this point, I'm okay. Deflated, but like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just feel quite sad, really. That's sort of, I'm not like raging or bitter. I don't have I actually don't have a lot of Arsenal fans in my life. I've got some old school friends who are not, like, I'm in sort of WhatsApp groups with them, but nobody else cares about football, so it doesn't really get talked about. And I don't have any of my family. I don't have sort of any of my kind of immediate circle. And there's like a couple of people at work, but I don't sort of get into it, because I know I'm not a person who can dish out. Like, I can't take banter, so I don't dish it out. So people tend to leave me alone. But so I don't have to deal with any of that anxiety that I know a lot of other people do. So I've just been able to be like, oh man, I'm just sad. It just fucking sucks. really fucking sucks. But I also know what you mean, Lauren, because I know there is like 20 points is fucking loads. And I didn't, but football also turns on such fine margins, man. And I know if we look at the first half, people will say those were not fine margins. But I'm going to say they were. And Sam, I'm going to really hope you'll back me up because, listen, Christian Romero could have had two goals. Mickey van der Ven should have had a goal. We should have had a penalty.
I feel like everyone's forgotten about
that
these
moments. That all happened in the first half, by the way. I know we were 3-0 down at halftime. I know that's not great. I know that two of those goals were from set pieces. And we can have our set piece moment. But like all of that did actually happen in the first half as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of people in their post-match rage and getting sort of caught up in the ill feeling of, yeah, getting beaten by that lot, forgot that I think it was actually a decent performance. And I think against most other sides where we're up 1 or 2 nil, provided that the opposition doesn't get a corner, because we're not defending them too well lately. And yeah, it just seemed to come from those two moments off of corners. And then there was just that one switch that went over the top and was too, Saka was too much for Ben Davis that one time. Other than that, he dealt with him quite well. And don't think that they created a great deal. Whereas like you said, I think Romero had that chance that was off the post and the Van de Ven that was offside by, you know, a toenail. It could have very, very easily have been different. And, you know, I thought that we were really undeserving of being 3-0 down at halftime, but that's the way it was. And it was pretty hard to swallow, wasn't it?
Lauren, I want to get the set piece chat out of the way. I think we obviously have to do it because it is the biggest talking point. And I know that it's like out of everyone I know, it's probably been driving you the most mad.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk me through it?
I'm sick and tired of going back to my old tweet to quote tweet the pretends to be shocked gif. That is my pattern and routine, like, at the moment. I just, like, my solution is, I think, if we don't have the specialism within the coaching team, and it doesn't look like we do, then we need to seek it elsewhere. Because I am all for Ange. I'm so behind where he's going to get us to as a club, but I cannot understand why he downplays the set piece issue. I think at halftime I was in disbelief because it's like, how are we losing 3-0? And how do we keep making the same mistake over and over again? Why do we start every match and nobody's helping Vicario? He's not commanding his box. And it just feels like, it just feels like naivety, because we address it in the second half, but then when the next match starts, we go back to how we were doing it before. And it's just like, it's not just the goals, I think, unless it's a corner that comes in that doesn't beat the first man, we rarely ever get first contact as a header in terms of people attacking the ball to clear it. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know what it is. Like, if you guys can't do zonal, can we switch back to man marking? Can we do a hybrid? Whatever it is, but we've got to sort it out, because we cannot ask our attackers to be like, come on, guys, you know, we've conceded two or three goals willy-nilly here. We now need you to score four. That's not sustainable, especially in big games like this. So it just feels like the work that we are doing when we're in possession and where we're trying to get to, we're just letting ourselves down by being easy to score against. And we will not go to the next level if we're so easy to score against. So, yeah, like, I'm just sick and tired of watching us concede the same goal from a corner over and over again.
I honestly left the room both times. I was like, oh, fucking, we've conceded, before the goal, by the way, I was like, we've got a corner. I'm not watching this because I know what's going to happen. That said, I personally, I'm with you. I hear what you're saying. I've actually got to a point now where I'm like, I don't, I'm, I don't know if this is just like nonsense bravado or I'm just completely ange-pilled or a little bit of both, but I'm also a bit like, oh man, I don't care. Like, if it, like, they're obviously not going to change it. The zone, like, if it's zonal marking, which I don't massively understand anyway, I sort of assume that a bit of a confidence boost and some personnel changes will go a long way towards fixing that. Like, for example, if we have Richarlison in there instead of our, like, three little forwards who kind of can't really do anything, I feel like that kind of thing makes a big change. But I do want to hear from... So I'm just a bit like, whatever, defence, who cares? But, Sam, I want to hear from you because you are more sensible than me. Equally Ange-pilled, well, but more sensible.
Yeah. Turn off now if you're looking for reason and sensibility. I agree with what you said. I think, you know, when you've got Timo Werner, Brennan Johnson, Sonny coming back to defender corner against the likes of Saliba, Gabriel, number five, it doesn't really fill you with loads of confidence, unfortunately. I think there were some stats I saw today that were, I think Vicario's 16th in the league for coming out and like commanding his box and collecting these sort of aerial deliveries, which isn't great, but it's also not just on him. I think obviously we're not great in the air as it is. I think we've just got the likes of Romero and Van de Ven, I think, are both decent in the air, but you know, Porro and Doggy not so strong in the air. Basuma, Bentancur, Saar, all not particularly strong in the air. I think our midfield, we lack a bit of height and muscle.
I feel like Bentancur could be fine. I don't, and Saar, even though he's tall, just doesn't seem a guy to have that sort of physical presence. So yeah, that's
it's
okay.
just a different kind of player, right?
Yeah.
So I think having Richarlison back, and yeah, I'm sure we'll get onto it later on because I thought he was fantastic when he came on. But just having that one extra really, really aggressive aerial threat, or someone that can, like Lauren was saying, go out and meet the ball, win the first header for a change, make a massive difference. And then another thing that I saw was that, and you can sort of take confidence from this, I do as an optimist, in Ange's first season at Celtic, they 33% of their goals that they conceded across the entire season were from set pieces. And it was deemed to be a big issue. The following season, they obviously spent a lot of time looking at it throughout preseason and for the new campaign, and then they moved that number from 33 down to 15%, I think it was. So
and scored more goals as well. Yeah, I'm going to also correct you because I looked at that thread as well. God bless that person who did that for us today. My God, thank you so much. The gift we really needed. But apparently it's like the number is even higher. It's like 41%.
Unreal. Yeah. So, well, I mean, not unreal. That's, I believe it.
Very, very real. Sadly, we're living it. Yeah. That's it.
But yeah, I think that they will deal with it in the summer. I think you can't have the issues that we've had this season. And you think of like the massive games where it's, excuse me, where it's cost us, you know, at City at the in the FA Cup at home, we dropped 2 points late to Everton away, which would have been a win. Obviously, Arsenal, and almost every game, it sort of feels like corners or set pieces are an issue now. And I'm sure there's been a bunch more. I feel like we went through that period where everyone was targeting Vicario on any sort of high ball or corner. So yeah, I don't put it down to just Vicario. I think the bodies that he's got in front of him aren't the types of guys that are really going to be dominating in the air. And hopefully in the summer we can address that either through changing the system in which we defend them, like Lauren said, or adding some more personnel in there that can be a bit more dominating. But I think that, yeah, it will resolve itself.
Yeah. I also think we need to, we just concede corners as well. That's the other issue. And I think we will get to a point where we won't concede so many. And I, like I was, Ollie and I were discussing this earlier, and while I understand not starting Richarlison because he hasn't really played that much and we don't know if he was kind of fit to start the full 90, you need, in a game like that, you need someone who is just going to hold the ball up a bit more, right? Because our forwards lose it up that end. And then with the form, I mean, I suppose Højbjerg was there, but it still doesn't quite work, does it? Like, our midfield is just iffy, right? So the forwards lose it and then it just kind of goes straight through midfield, doesn't it? And then if you don't have, and then if Mickey doesn't kind of cut it out in time, then we've conceded a corner. So that all happens so fast, doesn't it? And I feel like we've got like a bunch of problems, but they're all really fixable. I really believe it.
Yeah, I think this is where we have to kind of remain calm. I think mm-hmm. it's like it's a gripe and like I'll complain about them, and we are really open in defensive transitions as well. But I think it's also remembering that when we look at the construct of the midfield, Ange didn't buy any of them. So I think, you know, we don't, it's actually just going to be transfer windows and more time on the training ground for him to build the squad that he needs. Like, I look at Arteta's squad, he's had like 600 million and 5 years to build that team, and it still may never win the league. So, like,
God willing.
So, you know, Ange isn't a miracle worker. No manager is. And I think this is where we are just going to have to suck it up. As frustrating as it is, we're just going to have to do it because we have to give this man time. We cannot go do another 18-month sacking cycle. We're tired of it. I don't want to be thinking about another manager who's then got to take this squad of players and bring in their own ones. We've just got to stick by him. And I think whether it's personnel, whether it's different tactical details that he'll keep working, I think, you know, Ange's been pretty open that he's worked this season on what we are as a team in possession. And I think there are a couple of players actually up top who were really disappointed yesterday. But, I think the man just needs time and patience, I think, from the fan base. And, I think it's really horrible, I think, sometimes to see, you know, so many people tweeting like, oh, we've got to get rid of him and all of this. It's like, we're just so ungrateful as a fan base that we finally got somebody that actually plays football that we identify with.
And wants to be here, which was what everybody was bitching about with Conte. Like, you guys know, I was, you know, a part of me is still not Conte out. But like a big beef that the fan base had was that it felt like he didn't want to be here. And we've got someone who wants this job, who wants to be here, who cares about what he's doing, like visibly cares. And you're not, we got to get off this merry-go-round. Like, we got to get off it.
Yeah,
I can't stand it.
We're literally, when you know, it's weird because at the same time, people will praise the likes of Pep, the likes of Klopp, and it's like, where did they finish in their first seasons?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's kind of like, how can you then be judging our club by a different bar? And the way that we have to do things as a club in terms of the investment, in terms of, we don't even have that level of investment that a Liverpool or a Man City does. We can't go out and spend a world record fee on a new goalkeeper or a new centre half. So it's just kind of like, I actually don't know what people want from Ange. Like, we just have to, yes, obviously we feel frustrated because you lose a derby, but it's kind of like, we've also just got to stick along for the ride, and it will come. Like, I generally, it feels like the first time in such a long time, it feels like it will come with Ange. We've just got to wait for it.
Yeah.
It is a bit like that with people that are, you know, throwing the toys out the pram and screaming and whatnot. It's like dealing with a child that's having a breakdown and you're like, okay, what do you want? How can I fix this situation? If you want Ange out, tell me what you want. And then, get him out. It's not good enough. We can see in set races. Okay, but what do you want? And you know, they can't tell you. We want to go back to, Conte terrible. I don't in particular quite, you know, enjoy the way that I feel about the club now. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but I genuinely hated all of last season. And we have ups and downs at the moment, but I feel a connection to what we're doing. And I believe that when we go out, we can win every game. Whereas I didn't feel that last season. There's a lot of optimism. I think, like, just looking through the stats now, even yesterday, when everyone will make us believe that we got battered by them, but we had 62% possession. We were higher on XG. We had more shots. We had more bigger chances, more accurate passes, committed less fouls, had more corners. Yeah, it's just like we should have got something out of that game.
We should. You know what we should have done? And I genuinely believe that. And I know there are people who are like, you can't be 3-0 down going into halftime and like still believe that you should have got something out of that game. But I fucking do, man. Do you both agree with me? Like,
yeah,
I think
totally.
Come out of that with nothing was galling and unfair.
And I also just think that, like last season where we got pumped 3-0 and we never looked like we were in that game. It was absolutely miserable. I think Arsenal are a far better side than they were when they came to Tottenham last season. I think it just goes to show that how far we've come as a club and the squad right now, although it has its holes that we've spoken about a minute ago, but we were well in that game. And yeah, I do believe that we should have got something out of it. So as much as it's 20 points behind, but I don't think anyone thought that we would actually going to be pushing for a title this season in Ange's first season in the Premier League. And we're not far off where we need to be. I think a big summer of investments and tinkering with a few little bits and bobs and we'll be there or thereabouts.
And also some better officials.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I think Van de Ven being offside because he's got a bigger bum than Gabrielle is actually what's really spun me, because of like
welcome to conspiracy corner. Yes.
in that situation he just doesn't have the advantage, and then the fact that from that movement there are two ricochets, he reacts the quickest, and he's deemed to be offside. And I just think, like, this, you know, it's full stakes here. There's pride at stake, and you've got some idiots sat at Stockley Park, like, getting their lines out. Lines which are, like, we've seen in other games where you can see the line go over someone's boot. And I'm just thinking, like, you're just ruining the, like, you're ruining the game. And it costs us, because it just becomes... Look, even my cat, he's pissed off.
He's like, I've got something to say about this.
it absolutely costs us, because we're just, it's a different game if that goal stands. And it's just all over the place. Kulusevski is fouled and they don't deem it. Like, if that's anywhere else on the pitch, it's a foul. So if it's in the box, it should still be a foul.
The way my chest is ready to just fucking explode thinking about that Kulusevski penalty. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, it's not just it's a penalty, right? It's because they take advantage from that foul to immediately score. So it's not just that we didn't get a penalty, it's that then we immediately concede and we're 2-0 down. Like,
I was so sure that they were going to bring it back. I was like, they've scored, but we'll get a penalty.
But they wouldn't bring it back. I know, this is a rant that I hope that fans of other teams do not discuss. But, like, I'm sorry, they don't bring it back because it's a fucking goal. Because then that's such a big call. And then literally the only time I've ever seen that call made was in that glorious tournament, AFCON, where they knew how to do things right.
No, it's so true. Like,
they're not going to do it. They're not
so
going to.
Yesterday.
They're not going to overturn a goal. But, like, for a team that is fighting for the title, like, we're... Like, our position in all of this, and I'm not massive. I don't massively think it's a conspiracy or anything. I'm not. Well, am I? Maybe I'm. I have gone a bit mad today, but, like, in this, like, our position in this doesn't count. Like, we're not players in the, like, narrative of the season, right? So come the end of the season, and if that's like, oh, because that goal got overruled and then Tottenham got a penalty. Do you know what I mean? It's like the fucking Liverpool nonsense all over
totally.
Again,
like,
isn't
they,
it?
They got exactly what they wanted out of the narrative yesterday, that we made them sweat for a little bit, but ultimately they come through, and then hopefully the season will go down to the final day.
Yeah, because you can't help but ask questions, because even if we're not talking about that decision, how can Michael Oliver, who has got how many flipping qualifications, he is deemed one of the best referees in this country that we were sent to Europe to go and do Champions League or go do the Euros, he'll go do the World Cup. You're literally stood like, what, a few yards away and you cannot see.
He's looking right at them. Right at them.
Amazing, isn't it?
Like, how can you not see
Ben Davis
that?
Literally just getting a foot just rammed up his butt.
Like,
how have you not seen it? Like, I actually can't understand. And then it's kind of like, how it cannot be normal that even, you know, that was only our second penalty of the season. How many touches do we have in the box?
I know.
Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I do think that whole Liverpool writing their club statement has cost us for this entire season.
Completely.
Not getting decisions. Even things which are just like a blatant. And I'm tired. Like, I'm like, you'll go and you'll see different videos and people are trying to justify. Like, I'm confused. Like, Kulusevski, if you clip someone's heels and they kick themselves, they only kick themselves because there was contact.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, it's just frustrating because you think, well, actually, if the decisions had been correct, then we wouldn't have been 3-0 down at half time.
Exactly, exactly.
And then we wouldn't have had so much to do in the second half.
Exactly. And the fact is, even with that mountain to climb in the second half, we were so close and we rattled them. And I know, listen, people can talk about how we gave away stupid goals. So did they, actually, as it happens. Like, Rice lost his head.
Yeah,
foul GB. That completely.
And
Raya, and
Raya
also, exactly, literally passes the ball straight back to her. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, but like, their championship can, like, they're Premier League title contenders, but we're clowns. But like, we both made like ridiculous mistakes. I would argue, I've really lost it today, haven't I, guys?
No, but I would actually say that the way, like, the errors they made, I think they were from the fact that they're not ready in terms of a squad. They're still really immature because, like, yes, we were playing better in the second half, but there's no need for Raya to do what he did, apart from the fact that he's under pressure thinking, oh my God, like, you can tell in his head, he's already thinking about, oh, like, we're going to win the league here. Declan Rice, like, you've come in, you cost £100 million. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I look at ours and it's kind of like that, the goals that we conceded were not due to the fact that we were playing Arsenal, because we were conceding those goals against other teams.
Yeah.
That's
right. They're not special.
Yeah. I think from an emotional perspective,
we do this every week, guys.
it's sad, but it's true. I think we controlled our emotions as a team better playing that derby. It was just really terrible, terrible luck, I think.
Genuinely just like shocking, shocking officiating. Like, and I think obviously other teams, like the Wolves goal that got disallowed the other week is a disgrace, and like obviously Coventry in the semi-final, all of it, like we're not alone. But I think it's because it's not just Liverpool's letter, it's also when Arsenal kicked up that massive fuss to get about the Newcastle game, and that's it basically ensured that like they haven't had to deal with any more terrible decisions. That's the reality. Like, they played the system and it worked. Like, they bullied referees.
Exactly. And it feels like we've moved into this sphere where, one, clubs just feel like they can say what they like and they'll question the integrity of the referees. But then it feels like the referees are no longer officiating the game. They're determining the outcome of games. And it's just kind of like, I, for one, am sick and tired of, like, finishing games, regardless of a short team or another team, and all we're doing is discussing errors that the official, like, whether it's
so boring, isn't it?
But yeah, like, by VAR, whether it's the on pitch referee, and it's just like, you lot can't do your jobs. It's just not good enough. And at this point, it's like you can't swap them out. Like we can't get rid of them. But it's just not good enough, and it ruins the game. And I think I was in the stadium when, obviously, when we played Chelsea and we could have gone 2-0 up. And when you're in the stadium, you're there like a lemon, just waiting for VAR. You don't know what they're reviewing. Maybe you get the benefit on, like yesterday on TV, you're thinking, oh, look what they're measuring with Van de Ven. But it's just kind of like the whole emotion of watching football, we're just losing it because again, in the grand scheme of things, whether we finish fourth or fifth, couldn't care less at this point, anymore. So that's not going to cost us. But for other teams, it may cost them their place in the league. And it's kind of like, it's just not good enough. And it feels like there's nothing we can do.
It is mad that we've been doing this for, this is what, the fourth or fifth season with VAR now, I think, off the top of my head. And like, it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Like, when they brought it in, you sort of, you give them a bit of time to figure it out and how to use it. And obviously, us being English want to do things a different way, like, and we totally screwed that up. But it just feels like, these teething issues should be history now. But I feel like this is by far and away the worst season for every club, not just us. Like, we've had some shockers, but yeah, like you said, Rosa, Wolves have had an absolutely terrible, terrible run with it, and it's cost them so many points. They're lucky that they're safe, but maybe they would be challenging for these European spots as well. And I saw in the week that Sweden have had a fan protest, and they've just scrapped VAR altogether for next season.
Oh my God, I love this. Right.
So
Okay.
good,
This is what,
so
let's
good.
fucking do it. Come on, man.
But
I
it's
like
just mental, like in the ground when that
just
when
knocked my
the
headset off in fury.
when the Van de Ven goal went in, that there was a bunch of guys in front of me, and I see it every week now. I was just watching the game on their phone to try and see what's happening, because we're all stood there, like you said, like lemons, just being like, oh, I guess we'll stand around for a couple of minutes. Yeah, it's just like we've totally lost the emotion from the game. And I'd be for it if we were getting the correct decisions. But it feels
But we're
like
not. It's just more
the
things to
referees
be
on the pitch are
enraged about.
shirking responsibility, the guys at Stockley are shirking responsibility. No one wants to make a fucking decision. So we just end up with these weird moments where we're all just stood around scratching our heads, and it doesn't seem to be correct anyway. It's all just down to interpretation. And if that's going to be the case, then just let the guy in the middle decide, and we'd all just get on with our lives and probably go home from the game half hour earlier.
Yeah, like watching championship football actually at the moment is more entertaining because at least like the decision's the decision. But like it's frustrating because I feel like it's a football problem because we do see video technology used in other sports like rugby. Like rugby's a really good example of there's just complete communication. You can hear the conversation that's going on. Exactly when the TMO can be applied. Everyone in the stadium knows what's going on, and there's just kind of a respect. You may not always agree with the decision, but it's explained to you. And I cannot understand, when is football going to get off its high horse and learn from other sports about how they implement the same type of technology? Because it's not a like I don't come from an anti-technology in sport but like background. I'm very for it, but it's just like, but how can you guys implement it so badly? Like what is a clear and obvious error? Like everything is you were meant to correct mistakes, but it's got even more subjective.
You've just made it worse.
Yeah.
It's making it worse. Like and it's just confusing. Like how like we go back to the Kulusevski one. How is that not checked? How is that not considered to be in the sequence leading up to a goal? It's like two passes and Saka's in. So it's just so, but you also know that maybe when we play Chelsea on Thursday, if that situation happens again, they're going to make a different decision.
Obviously, obviously. Can we, I do want to talk about, much as I love this, much as I love the ranting, I feel like some lovely things did come out of Sunday. And when you talk about Kulusevski, I want to talk about Kulusevski because he has had a tough time lately. But I will come to the man of the match in a minute. But he was, to me, he was one of the men of the match. I thought he was Like he fucking stepped up. The way we've talked about him before on this pod, about him being like a, you know, his mentality is exceptional and it's really wobbled in recent weeks. But like, don't know what happened. He's a father now. All of a sudden he's like, now I have to take responsibility again. I'm stepping up. And he tried to make things happen. He was just strong. He was creating things. He was actually like taking on his man.
He was the only one giving us some relief from his hold up play as well. Obviously, yeah, before Richarlison had come on, but he was fantastic the way that he rolled his defender a few times and went down the line. It really felt like it was back to his best. It's lovely to see.
Yeah, he played that game like he knew what it meant to us. And I said when we do the preview, I only have three rules. And I just need to see the players like on the pitch, like actually, I need to see a noticeably difference in your body language and the way that you approach the game, because it's a derby game. And I think we really saw that with him. It was just straight from the kickoff, he would engage in the duels. Like Tomiyasu tried to push him off the ball, like straight away as soon as the game started. And yeah, it was just nice to see him back to the level that we know he's got. And I also think that, If Maddison stayed on the pitch for that entire game, we wouldn't have finished the game how we did. So I actually think he played really well out wide, but when he actually did come on into the 10, we became a much better team as well in how we were trying to get that third goal. So yeah, it was just really good to see him kind of come back to the Deki that we know, and long may it continue.
It was real. It was real, like Deki had energy, wasn't it? I really love that.
It was like, you know, Deki had energy.
Yeah, I will defend Maddison. I feel I don't want to. Like, I'm not up for kind of writing him off at all. I think he's obviously having a tough time, but I don't. He is obviously not a player who wants to shirk responsibility. Like we've seen him turn up in really big games, like not least obviously the reverse fixture at Emirates. This is obviously not working for him right now. So I do think Kulu probably deserves to be in the 10 for a little while. One other thing also is because I wasn't trying to look out for this actually when I was watching the game, whether we were winning our duels. And I thought most of the team were pretty good on that actually. That wasn't where we were losing the game.
No, in the first half, we were the better team, actually. Yeah. The football that we were playing and how we were approaching the game out of possession, we were better than Arsenal, which just happened to be 3-0. And that's, I think, obviously, when you look at a scoreline, it clouds your perception of how the half went. But I actually do think that, like, the vast majority of the play, like, they were giving it everything that they had. And they continued to do that in the second half, which is not an easy thing to come out and do actually when it's kind of like, yo, we're getting embarrassed here.
I thought at half time I was like, fucking hell, it's gonna be 6-0.
Mm.
But one man saved. Oh no, okay. We'll come on to our Superman in a minute. Okay.
I do think our kind of God, it's gonna be 6-0 just actually comes from pre-Ange.
Where, oh, for sure. That's this is years of like, angst.
Yeah, like,
and, yeah.
But actually, I think yesterday again epitomized that we have a manager that no matter the situation in the match, he's going to try and win the game.
Yeah. I think it is pre-Ange. It's also Newcastle, really, like, obviously, like, rattled me personally as well. But I guess it is different when we're at home. I'm going to talk about our man of the match. Our superhero, the only captain I recognise for that game anyway, Christian Romero. I fucking love him. I thought it was an unbelievable performance. Like, it's crazy, again, given that we were 3-0 down at half-time, to say that our best player was a central defender. But, like, because it wasn't just that he was a central defender, he was everywhere. He tried to do everything. He could have scored two goals before half-time. Then he scored the goal that got us back into it and was just like an all-round superhero. I know this is a nonsense thing to say because obviously he's always been an amazing player and my issues with him were not about how good he is. That's just my stuff. But to me, the Romero redemption arc is complete. Like, I love him. Please stay forever. You're incredible. Sam, I'm going to pass over to you because now is your moment.
My liability. I love him so much. Yeah, that is, and like Ange said, it's exactly the energy that you want from your players in a derby like that. He like not for a moment looked like he was going to lose his head. Actually, there was one when he went after the referee with the Kulusevski. I think it was the Kulusevski or the Davis one.
Davis, when he's
yeah. He does like this ballerina jump in front of the referee. It's really funny if you haven't seen it. Because he's just like lost his mind. He's like, I can't believe this is happening again.
But kind of fair game. Enough. That's what other teams do, man. They're always like surrounding the ref and all the rest of it. It's just
yeah. But no, I'm so happy. He's deserved his flowers. Like for me, he's been our player of the season. Ben Bowman, my favorite Tottenham tactico, is like me and has been banging the cootie drum for a very long time now. And he was saying before the game that Romero's been his player of the season as well. And rightly so. I think he's been the most consistent player throughout the season when we've bar that Chelsea game. I think he's been, you know, 7-8 out of 10 every week, sometimes more. I thought he was sort of 8 or 9 at the weekend, because like you said, he was everywhere, like Beckenbauer. He was having shots, headers, so good. And like Gary Neville on the commentary, I saw the replay. He's just like, what is Romero doing there when he scored the goal? I was like, that's my boy.
Exactly. That's our guy. But also like what a perfect Ange player. Like he isn't necessarily the perfect Ange player ultimately, and maybe in terms of the way he plays, but the attitude.
Absolutely. Like for me, I was like, he played that game like it was somebody told him it would be the last ever football match he could play. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't it. For me, I was watching it thinking, this is even better than what we saw in the World Cup.
Yeah, man.
He was absolutely just said, we are getting ourselves back into that match. And he took responsibility. And he channeled his aggression, but we saw it come out in different ways. And I think that was always the bit for me that I was waiting for him to do, in terms of just like, channel your aggression in a positive way and don't cost us when you're on the pitch. And I just think we're now seeing this like mature kind of version of him. And yeah, he just charged around. He was everywhere. He was setting the press. Like it was great to see it. And like that moment when he scored, when it was like pure elation, where like I'm screaming at the TV, like, yeah, we're back in it. And then I'm like, wait, what the hell is he doing there? But it was just,
that's what he does. Just all of a sudden you're like, why is he playing striker? Doesn't matter. It's all good.
Yeah.
But I forget think, Madison at the 10. Forget Kulu at the 10. Hit me out.
Exactly. And I think, you know, it just shows, I think, also why he got the vice captaincy, I think. Because I think when the choices were kind of emerged, out of the three of them, people probably thought, well, why is Romero there? But I think, you know, he leads the back line. And I think we don't talk about that enough in terms of his organisation. And yeah, I was just super happy. Like, you know, people talk a lot about Gabriel and Saliba, blah, 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 blah. The best defender on the pitch was Romero. So yeah, and I'm just happy that he was able to kind of show that performance, made sure we actually fit, you know, if he doesn't put in that performance, we don't get those two goals back. So yeah, hopefully like he can kind of lead us into Thursday to like continue that momentum.
And that's what's so glorious about football, isn't it? And also about being a Tottenham fan, man. Like we're not like the most hard done by of clubs, obviously. It's a nonsense, and we have to like understand like our place in the sort of food chain is actually pretty high up. But for where we are, there's not been a lot of glory. But what we do have all the time, there's like is we just get fucking special players, don't we? And like again, I give thanks to you, Paratici, for finding that dude. And there's something so special as well about, like, I loved what Ange said about him afterwards, because I've often felt we've had a lot of winners in our squad, but it's never really come together in any sort of meaningful way. I've never thought that's a, you know, that's a World Cup winner's performance. That's a captain's performance. But Like we truly, truly saw it. And it was just, and even though we're all sort of heartbroken over the result, like I feel such a glow when I think about him and what he did that day. Like I'll always treasure that. Do you know what I mean?
Especially nice as well, because I think Van de Ven's been getting all the plaudits this season, and like rightly so. Like he's a fantastic player, but I think he gets the plaudits because he is a spectacle that we've not really seen anything like it in terms of his pace. With like the Premier League's never seen him like it. He's the quickest player ever. But
there was a hilarious moment. I can't remember what Arsenal player it was who just like stopped running because they were like,
"Oh, nice. He gave up.
It's not going to happen."
Like, he was 1-1 with the keeper at the halfway line. He's like,
"Yeah, he was like, never mind."
I mean, it's amazing, and like watching that is phenomenal. But I think Romero deserves his flowers. He's a very, very underrated defender amongst our fan base, I think. What a performance to turn up for.
Yeah,
what a man.
Afterwards as well, because I think usually when we lose these matches, we get radio silence on social media, and he gave us one of his all together now.
I know, man. So, it was like, but it was an all together that actually made it, like, I really felt like he thought about it.
Yeah.
He was I recognise what's going on, And it wasn't just like, we go again. It was I feel like you really mean that, Cootie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. A beautiful, beautiful man. As I put under his posts, I love you forever. Hopefully that didn't come across weirdly. Doesn't matter. It's out there now.
He's a passionate Argentinian boy. I'm
exactly.
Sure
he'll just be
it.
Like, this is normal behavior. Okay.
We stop the Romero chat, did you catch his tweet before it was deleted today?
Oh no!
About the Van de Ven offside call, and then he basically put side by side with the West Ham situation, and he's like, it was a very, very similar goal when it was Jared Bowen that went through after that pinball moment with I think it was him and Van de Ven,
mm-hmm.
And yeah. So, and he's taking it down now.
I love it. I love that he's seething as well. Amazing. Yeah. He is
a little bit of spice.
He must have a burner. I would like to find out what that burner is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's an investigation for later. All right. We should probably move on. I feel like we have kind of energized ourselves. This is pretty good. So I hate to bring us all back down again. Looking to Thursday. Stamford Bridge. Generally pretty crappy vibes there. Do you guys, I've sort of talked myself throughout this conversation, I've sort of talked myself into feeling vaguely positive about it suddenly, which is a nonsense because I think Chelsea probably are quite good.
Wouldn't go that far.
Okay, good. I like this. This is whenever I've watched them, I'm like, they play really nice stuff.
I would say they play their better football against the big six.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that football is particularly amazing. But I hate this fixture because it feels like no matter how good we are going into this fixture, some rubbish always happens in the game or whatever it is, and it for me it just feels like a cursed fixture. Like it doesn't, we hardly ever get results in this fixture, let alone ones at Stamford Bridge. So I feel like even if Chelsea were 20th and we were top, something would happen.
Yeah, it's true, and that's almost happened before, and it's still fuckery has ensued. Sam, are you going?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Payback time.
One of these times you're going to be right, and I fucking can't wait for it. Annoyingly, Cole Palmer, who had a fucking tummy bug against Arsenal, will obviously be back.
Yeah, so, he played against Villa.
Looked
like somebody who was recovering from illness, but obviously we'll have a few more days. But yeah, he's the main threat in all fairness.
Are you a Gallagher fan or no, Lauren? Can't remember.
My Gallagher opinion is I do think he would be a very, very good Spurs player. in this system, but I don't want to sign somebody who's grown up dreaming of hearing, "We hate Tottenham, Chelsea." So because of his history, I don't want him. But I do think he would slot in well in that kind of eight role because he is very, very good at pressing. But then we don't really do much business ever with them for a reason. And I personally think we should keep it that way. But yeah.
He looked really good against Villa, I have to say.
Yeah,
like, I like him anyway. Sam, what's your Gallagher take?
Yeah, I think, like, he'd be a great addition to the squad. He's not, like, top of my list by any means, but I think we're going to be, when we're in Europe next season, we're going to need some... actually, won't count for club-trained anyway, so I don't think he's any advantage in Europe, but particularly for the Premier League. We're quite short on homegrown players, so he'll definitely help out on that quota as well.
Eze's available, get him in.
Yeah, his family were there on Sunday, so I don't know how well that will have worked out.
Second time in a month.
But also, I like the idea that they were there so he could see how badly we need him. So you know, that's a selling point, isn't it? I'll be honest with you. I would like. I also don't. I don't know if Gallagher would like. I don't think he'd want to come to Spurs. I think not just because he wouldn't want to come to Spurs. Like, I think he would just want to stay at Chelsea. He's captain, so it's
again. I don't know if I've said it on the pod before, but when I was doing the sort of pre-season shoot at Chelsea, he looked so checked out there before
a ball
was kicked. Yeah, like proper checked out. Like he. It was almost like he was stoned. Like he didn't really care what was going on because it was like he was just waiting for his move. That was my take on it anyway. And everyone that day was just like, yeah. And everyone was that I was working with that day were just like, he's like, it looks like he's just cruising about, like he's done. So I know he's had a bit of a revival this season. He's basically started every game he's been fit for. But yeah, I wouldn't rule it out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, he's the vibe that I enjoy. Hopefully they'll all be fucking terrible on Thursday. But yeah, they're obviously gonna turn up, aren't they? I'm sort of vaguely optimistic of getting something, and when I say something, I mean a draw.
Yeah,
which to be honest, I would take 100%.
I also think our players will be so hungry to right the wrongs from the weekend. Like it's almost, I know this sounds mental, but it's almost the perfect time for that fixture because it's the one that means the most after Arsenal. And if you're going to get the fan base back on side and fired up for the last few games, then this is the one that you want to win.
That does sound completely mental, but I also agree.
Mental takes.
Yeah, I'm like, sounds crazy, but you have a point. Do we think Maddison gets dropped for it? Quick yes or no, Lauren, what do you think?
I think he should, but I don't think he will be.
Do you think Mbeumo comes back?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Sarr?
But I think he will. Yeah, I think Sarr comes back. Maybe too many minutes for Benton.
Yeah. And then do you reckon, I've sort of stealth asked you for the lineup without actually asking you for the lineup. Do you reckon Richie in the middle and Sonny on the left? I feel that was loads better once that happened.
Yeah, I think so. And also probably Timo's maybe injured anyway.
Oh yeah, good point.
So yeah.
I'm just not having the Timo conversation this week.
I don't even have anything to say. But yeah, apart from the fact that he's probably going to be injured. But yeah, I think Chelsea's back line physical. So I think we just need a bit of a presence up top, especially if Thiago Silva plays, because all the Chelsea fans have been crying today because he's announced that he's leaving. So there's going to be a big one.
He's like 100 years old. It's time.
Yeah, I know. But...
Like he's been amazing. Like I can't like he has actually been excellent for them despite being 100 years old. It's very annoying, but it is time for him to go.
As in hell, the rest of the defenders, but yeah.
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 Sam, what do you think? Midfield, up front?
Literally all the same answers as Lauren.
Yeah. All right, excellent. All right. Do you want a couple of questions?
Gorman.
I'm going to give them to you anyway, because it's just fun.
Ollie's one job. I need to get him in.
Exactly, exactly.
And then
Hoddle, AVB, Conte, Jose, Conte, and he who should not be named have all managed Spurs and Moscow on Thames. But who had the highest win rate for the mighty Lily Whites?
Wait, who are the ones that you just mentioned?
Hoddle, AVB, Jose, Conte, and he who shall not be named. Obviously, the guy who's there right now. But they've all managed both of us, but who had the highest win rate for us?
AVB.
Sam? Yeah, I was going to say AVB.
Damn fucking right, it's AVB. Andre Villas-Boas, president of Porto.
Short, smallish sample size.
Doesn't matter. Irrelevant. I love him forever. Tottenham beat Chelsea 2-1 in 1990. In all competitions, when did they next beat them? 2002, 2006, 1994, or 1999?
99
from Lauren. Sam, what's your answer?
Was 96 in there?
94 or 99. It's 94, 99, 2002 or 2006?
2002.
Correct.
Good guess.
It's actually worse than that. 2002, we beat them in the League Cup. We didn't beat them in the league until 2006. A total of 16 years, 8 months and 26 days.
That is horrific.
So many cursed fixtures. We're not, honestly, let's just not even look ahead to Liverpool, because that is another cursed fixture. I don't even, actually, we've won at Anfield. When did we last win at Anfield? Like 2012, I want to say.
A really long time.
It's a really long time.
Being optimistic, maybe we used all of our bad luck yesterday to give us a free run for our traditional bad luck fixtures.
That is definitely
that
how
is a
football
take
works.
That I love.
You're welcome, guys. I'm here all night.
we're gonna roll with it 100%. Right, let's talk very, very briefly about the women, because we obviously do our best to cover both teams. Unfortunately, North London Derby Day, the game was on at the same time. Don't blame us. There's just been no time, no space. We drew with Brighton. We conceded to a set piece, I believe.
Cross into the box by Turner.
I mean, fair enough. We were like, fine. She is
watch
like,
out for her.
Exactly. But yeah. And then we equalized thanks to our beloved captain. So it was pretty, I've seen that goal. That's literally all I've seen from the game. And it was a pretty good goal.
Yeah, I think we could have got a late winner, because I think Beth hit the crossbar after the equalizer. But yeah, I think one of those ones. But I think good squad rotation, keeping everyone fit, going into the final.
I noticed like Ash didn't start, did she? It was Charlie Grant on the right.
Charlie, at the point, because we hadn't conceded in the North London Derby, where I was able to dual screen properly, Charlie had a really good chance early on, which she should have scored. So again, it's just one of those. You take your chances, you create a different game. But we've seen time and time again with the women's team, there's a resilience in there. And they came back. Yeah, we didn't get 3 points, but I think it kind of is like that with Brighton sometimes.
And also, it's just not about that with us at this point in the season, is it? We're just trying to keep everyone fit. We're trying to keep everyone.
Try different ideas.
It
kind of feels like our position in the table is going to be sick five, or it feels like the gap between where United are, where Liverpool are, we're probably not going to bridge that gap now. There's not enough games. Yeah. So it does just kind of feel like, let's keep rotating, let's keep trying different things, keep everyone fit.
Yeah.
until the big day.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, that's ultimately it. And it's nice for Beth to get another goal, basically, because that keeps her sharp. So that's pretty important. And I think, was the assist from Jess anyway?
No, no. It was
from Ash, okay.
Ash cross, which was, to be fair, a really decent cross. So I think, I think the players that we know are going to need to have a really big game in the final are coming into form at the right time. So, yeah, I think we just keep everything crossed, pray everyone stays healthy, players like Martha come back quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Salim was on the bench, but she didn't play. So, yeah, you just kind of let's recover our injured players and, yeah.
Make sure we don't lose anyone else, yeah. Did you guys watch any of that? I've only seen the sort of 2-minute clip of Gary Neville's interview of Anthony Gordon, which is well sweet. And he talks about how he like visualizes. That's what he does. And like, he prepares for games like 3 days in advance and he uses like visualization. And I honestly have started to like visualize us winning the cup. I'm like imagining it. I'm imagining being there with you guys. And I'm like, am I going to cry? Yes. Am I going to get horribly drunk? Yes. Like, how do you know what I mean? I'm just trying to like plan. Like, I've just pictured the day, and it's starting to get to that sort of point now where I'm like, I'm thinking about it too much.
But we have to, like, if we can't dream at this point in time, what's the point of getting there? Yeah, like, I think in my head, I've thought about like, what are we going to do when the whistle goes, that little gap when they start preparing the stage and stuff, and like, so they can lift the trophy. Like, yeah, I think we have to dream. We know we can do it. We showed against United that we're going to give them a game. So why not? Like,
why not? This isn't the men. This isn't the men. Like, whatever their issues are, listen, I love them and I'm fully back on board and all the rest of it in spite of the weekend. But like, they've got different issues.
It's kind of, do you remember, well, everyone remembers, I'm sure, unless you blocked it out, but like that 2-week period between like the Champions League final when we got there, it was just like that bliss of just like dreaming, like, could we, oh my God, oh my God.
Genuinely the best month of my life, man. Like, anything was possible. It was so glorious.
And just buzzing. And I feel very similar in that way, in that it's just like, this could be like an absolutely outrageous day. Yeah. And a proper history-making piece of beauty that we'll all be there for.
Oh, I'm crying already.
I know.
Even if I don't feel bad about the derby, it's like a little protective jacket.
You're right, you know. It can't drag me down. Like this time last year, we lost the North London derby and the women were nearly getting relegated. It was just a disaster on all fronts. But now you just see there's hope, man.
Yeah, like genuinely, like, I'll be doing something random in the day and then I'm like, oh, we're going to Wembley.
I got my email about my t-shirt from Sam that's like gone to print or something.
Yeah,
like,
on the way. It's gonna be so good. My friend Kirsten that was at the game with at the weekend, she's like proper buzzing for it. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I know this great place that we can go before they open at like 9 a.m. There's no daylight in this bar and the Guinness is £3.
Let's do it. Like, let's do it.
Damn it.
I'm in. We're making a day of it. All right. I'm going to stop it before we just carry on forever. Has anybody got any culture? Because I feel like I haven't done anything. This has been too much football. But hopefully you guys will have something to give me. Sam.
Yeah. My friend that I saw at the game at the weekend again. Her name's Freddie, and she flew out all the way from Copenhagen. God bless her, having to sit through that.
Dreadful life in Copenhagen. I really feel for her.
I know. She's a massive Spurs fan. She's been out a few times this season to watch games. She always tries to get out to a few of them, but she's also an incredible photographer. She's like my favorite football photographer there is. And she took some pictures, if you want to relive the game, at the weekend. But there's,
I'm sorry, Freddie.
She's got some amazing ones. So she gets like pitch side accreditation to like shoot all the Denmark games and lots of stuff from like the Danish league as well. But she's an amazing photographer. So check her out. Her page for all of her football photography is Freddy's Football with a DDIES on the end of Freddy's. And yeah, her personal page, she's like an amazing wildlife photographer as well. So I'm always swooning over her photography. I think she's amazing and she's a super nice girl. And yeah, so Incredible. Go and check her out. Big Spurs fan and great photographer.
Amazing stuff. We'll make sure to tweet out all of her stuff anyway, so that if you've missed it on this pod, you can still go and check it out. It sounds amazing. I will look at her other stuff. No, maybe I'm she might have a picture from Era. I'll have a look at that. Lauren, how about you?
Yeah, I think the only thing I've done, Station 19 is back. So I have been watching those final series. I do like a good Shonda Rhimes show. I gave up on Grey's Anatomy because it was going on for too long. But Station 19's the spin-off.
Literally like 30 seasons, man.
You know, and it's just like there's only so many of my favourite characters you can kill off before enough is enough and you've driven it away. But so yeah, Station 19 is the spin-off, right? So Fire Station. So but yeah, this is like, I think it's like season 7, but yeah, it's the last series. So it's shorter because of the writer's strike. But yeah, it's on Disney Plus. So if you do like kind of Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice, or How to Get Away with a Murder, all of Shonda Rhimes' shows, so you'll like Station 19 as well.
Excellent. Who's in it?
I'm like Sam. I'm not the.
Then I won't put you under pressure.
Don't ask me these things.
I will say, if you have seen Grey's Anatomy, that Warren and Bailey and Karina are the links between Grey's Anatomy and Station 19. They're in.
It's Bailey's, yeah, it's like Bailey, sexy Bailey's husband, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
And then. Yeah, went to the station, and that's how you're introduced to the Station 19 team. But yeah,
very
don't ask
nice. Very nice. No, I'll go and I know who they all are. Don't worry.
Go and see who's actually in it.
Yeah, please.
I have absolutely nothing for you guys except to give you a little quote from something that I'm reading right now. Which I think is appropriate for all of us. If your emotional and spiritual pursuit is nothing more than a series of very low lows followed by very high highs, you're eventually going to wear yourself out. That's my thought for the day.
Who wrote that? Corey's Daniel.
Explains why I am so, so tired.
Exactly. Every time we get on this pod, I'm like, how are you guys? And we're all like, we're fine. We're totally fine. just to take that with you all into the future, especially over the next couple of days, the next week, the next couple of games. It's going to be a lot, isn't it? Hopefully, we'll be able to pull together a last-minute Friday pod celebrating something spectacular over Chelsea. But if not, let's be honest, we'll see you
if
all.
You don't hear from us, you know why.
If you don't hear from us, you know why. We'll see you all the other side of Liverpool 4, Spurs 3, I guess. Thank you so much, guys. As always, a joy, a delight, a privilege. Sam, will you see us out?
Up the Spurs.